Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hit and Hustle from IrishSportsDaily.com. I'm your host, Greg Flamong, and with me, as always, is Jamie Uwayama, Mr. Jamie University. It is Tuesday, January 30th, and we're going to talk some players who need to step up in 2024, Jamie. We talked about this a little bit last week, and so we're going to dive headfirst into not like the main players, right? Like not the main guys, like mostly just kind of, so I mean, maybe some main guys, but periphery guys like that need to make like a big jump. Like Jason Agnew would be one, right? I think Brendan Vernon, someone like that, right? Like guys who are just like coming into bigger roles.
Not like Howard Cross needs to be good. Yes,
he needs to be like, good. Yeah, like we know that, right? Like, yeah. Ben Morrison, have a good season. That'd be great. Yeah. You know, like, like that. We're not doing that. We're going to talk about kind of guys who have kind of going into their junior year, redshirt freshman types, and see, you know, if they can make the jump to really propel Notre Dame into like a national power and into the playoffs and so on and so forth. We're going to talk a little bit about the NFL playoffs at the beginning here. Mike, I felt bad for him listening to him on Power Hour yesterday. It's tough. You know, you're up big like that. You're up 3 touchdowns, and it's just a complete collapse too. Yeah. It's just like, and it happened so quickly. You know, it just completely flipped, and you hate to see that. As a lifelong Ravens fan, I understand, right? Like, you hate to see it. Well, I'll talk a little bit about that, and then whatever comes up in the chat. People are banging on the intro music. You know, I'm not going to stand for that right now. So like, don't do that. I like our intro music. We need to fix the intro for the other one. So that's why we went from the music to the thing right now. But so we're going to get that fixed. So thank you everyone for tuning in. If this is your first time ever catching us, or if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to this channel. Please hit the like button. Please hit the notification bell. So whenever it is, we are going live. Links to our podcast are in the description below. I did not produce the intro song, Corey Flynn. I did not. But I did choose it. So, and I like it. I like it. I think it's good. And if you don't like it, then, you know, that's unfortunate. Maybe we'll change it later on, but we're not doing that today. Jamie, I see you're wearing an LA Dodger hat. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, you just like it or what?
Well, they got a lot of Japanese guys on the team, so I got to support Trohei, jump the bandwagon.
I'll tell you a story about that. So my mother-in-law, so my wife, Amy is half Japanese, okay? So my mother-in-law is a Japanese woman, very fine lady, and she's not really into pro sports, right? Like she's like everyone grew up playing soccer. So she loves men's soccer, women's soccer, Euro soccer, things of that nature. But like baseball, basketball, not really her thing. Well, big Shohei guy. I mean, big Shohei lady. Loves Shohei when she was on the Angels. He signs with the Dodgers, and she's like, "Greg, how do I get the games?" Because she has the thing she has Dish. And she says, "How do I get the games?" I said, "You're not going to get them on Dish. You got to do something else." She's like, "I will change. Like, we are going to DirecTV. I will get it." Like, she's changing her whole situation. So they've had it for as long as Amy and I have been together, and it's changing it. So it's a big deal for her. Maybe I'll get her some Dodger gear. Maybe I'll get her a Shohei jersey or something like that. Right. You know, at her first ever jersey. Maybe she can go to a game and have a good time with that. You always want to look nice in your Shohei jersey, and you want to look nice if you're out at the game, Jamie, or if you're watching at the bar with your friends and you want to impress them. You don't have a Shohei jersey. What you can have is an ESQ bamboo dress shirt founded by ESQ Clothing. It's crafted from high quality bamboo fabric. It's the softest and most comfortable shirt you'll ever put on. Not only more sustainable than cotton, but also feels cooler, has stretch, is odor and wrinkle resistant, even machine washable. You've seen ESQ's one-piece collar bamboo dress shirt on all your favorite Notre Dame players and coaches. Perfect shirt for today's business meeting, heading for a night out. Use ISD15 and get 15% off all online items. That's ISD15 for 15% off. Jamie, tough weekend for the sports. What did you want to say?
I just wanted to say Corey Flint, because I'm a new era guy. So that's why I'm just like a hat guy. So just, I don't really care. Like, to be honest, I do not care about the Dodgers. I do not care about the Giants. I actually do care about the Mariners. I do care about the Mariners, but I'm like a hat guy. So that's kind
of St. Joe Gale, prefer Seattle hat, Ken Griffey Jr. There you go. Everyone loves the kid. Everyone loves the kid. The greatest, the sweetest swing in the history of the sport. What a beautiful swing he had. Everyone loves the kid. So, all right, Jamie, tough weekend for the football, for the ISD team over here. Mike's team loses. To be honest, like he was upset about the fourth down stuff. And I saw a stat where somewhere like the field goal kicker was like under 50% from that like range where he would have been kicking from. And so it's like, you got to kick it. You got to make it, right? And it's like,
their if you're asking him, inconsistent all year. Yeah.
Inconsistent all year. If you're asking him to make a kick, then why don't you ask, you know, Jared Goff and those guys to make a play, right? So I don't have a problem with that. I think that's totally fair. And I think it's totally fine. It's just a bummer. Like, it's terrible. Like, it stinks that they didn't come through in the moment like you need to. And, you know, it sucks. It sucks for the Lions fans. It was a great year, though. And, you know, it was kind of like 12-5, you know, they lost to the highest seed. Right. So there's no shame in that. Like the Ravens, for example, like they were the one seed. And, it's just funny how like everyone's banging on Lamar Jackson. Right. And look, he didn't play great. Obviously he made some key mistakes. He made some key throws. But like if Flowers doesn't fumble at the goal line, then they've got 17 points, just like the Chiefs had, right? Like it was two defenses that had a really good game. The Ravens, obviously their first two drives, like they struggled, but then after that, they kind of shut everyone down. They shut down the Chiefs and it didn't work out. Right. And so that's too bad. Kyle Hamilton had a great football game aside from the great catch that Travis Kelce made in the corner of the end zone. I mean, that's a Hall of Famer making a Hall of Fame play on you, right? But 11 tackles, he's all over the place. He ended a drive all by himself. Brian Baldinger's giving him all this praise. He played a great football game. Hopefully on to the next for him and for the Ravens next season. Corey Flynn's asking about Power Hour. Power Hour is only a podcast. It's only a podcast. So if you go to Apple Pods, is it on? I've never actually looked
it's
for
on,
it.
It's on Spotify.
It's on Spotify.
It's on Spotify.
Okay.
It's on all the ones. Yeah.
Okay. It's on all the podcasts. So, yeah, the check. It came up for me on Apple. So Corey, it should be there. Blayberg, so wrong about Kyle Hamilton. You should be listening to this show. You wouldn't be wrong about Kyle Hamilton. A lot of people were wrong, unfortunately. And it's a funny guy. Never on YouTube, Corey. Power Hour is never on YouTube. It's funny. Like he's such a. No one should be wrong about Kyle Hamilton. All the evidence you need is available for everyone. So no one should ever be wrong, but they consistently are. It's unfortunate. So. That's what it is. Anything you wanted to say about the NFL, Jamie, before we get into the topic here?
I will say that I do think people need to give their props to Brock Purdy for how he played in the second half of that game and really kind of how he closed out the Green Bay game, because, you know, he had a big old nothing burger at the beginning of that game and was bad, but came through when it mattered. And then the same thing this week. So I think his running ability, which, you know, not a lot of people talk about, that's something that, you know, was a big factor in that game. And he's been great. Like I will say that I just think that the Chiefs, I just would never bet against Patrick Mahomes and Kelce to win when it comes down to, because especially because their defense is the best it's been since they've gone on this run, right? So
yeah.
Although they did lose another defensive lineman who tore his ACL, that was big. But who knows? If they get Willie Gay back for the Super Bowl, that's huge. And they're just, man, I just think like KC, really the whole year, it was like their own mistakes that kind of cost them. Because really, they could have been like the number one seed in the AFC if like a couple different plays. And it really was that like it honestly, like there's a couple bad like missed penalty calls. I mean, obviously the Kadarius Toney lining up off sides, like that kind of stuff. I just can't. I would never pick against KC in the Super Bowl. So that I'm just throwing it out there right now. They're my pick.
They just know how to win. They know how to win, you know, and they. It's like all the earlier stuff, like, yeah, they were bad offensively and whatnot, but they just that's an organization that when it gets time to, you know, the winning time in the playoffs and to be clutch and, you know, raise your level, they know how to do it. So, you know, I agree with you. Like you have to, you just kind of have to say like, hey, like they know how to do this. They've been there before. And look, it's like 17 points, right? Like, they win the way that they need to win. And that's kind of like a sign of like a good organization, right? It's just that you, however they need to win the game, they will find that way to win and they can play in that way, right? Like they had to go offensively, they needed to be more of like a shootout type thing against Buffalo. And then against the Ravens, like they had those two quick touchdowns and that was enough to win. And they were able to make it. So, you know, good job by them. Right. Football season's over. I don't really care. I don't it doesn't matter to me who wins the Super Bowl at this point, whether it's the Chiefs or whether it's the 49ers. Yeah, like I said, football's over. 2024. We're on to that. And on that note, let's talk about some key players, Jamie, some guys that need to come through for Notre Dame. I'm going to. Floor to you. You can give me your first guy about who you're thinking of, who needs to have a big season for Notre Dame to be everything Notre Dame can be in 2024.
I think Jalen Snead. I really think he's right up there. And I mean, I think there's obviously a lot of questions with him, but I look at where Notre Dame's missing right now and what they're missing right now. And it's not even necessarily that he needs to be a starter at linebacker, like, because I think right now I would lean towards Kaiser and Drake Bowen. They're probably the guys that are coming out at the beginning of spring, at the very least, with the ones at inside linebacker. That would be my guess. But in saying that, if Snead can actually be a guy who plays, you know, and it takes the steps to be able to play be an every down player, that would be huge, because he's just such a different athlete than anyone else they have at the linebacker position. And really, if you think about it, because, you know, Maris Leofau, his value to the team wasn't on early downs. His value was in the sub package and what he could do as a guy who could rush off the edge, as a guy who could be involved in like games up front, be involved in spying the quarterback. It was huge in spying the quarterback all year, right? And Snead was obviously played in the sub package, but I think if he was in that Marist role, that suits him better. And I think they need someone there too, because they have questions at Viper, right? They have questions at Viper. So they're going to need someone to be that, like, you know, quote unquote money backer, to be someone who rushes on third down, to be a chess piece on third down. And it's not to say someone else couldn't do it, because maybe it's KVA, maybe it's somebody else, but he, right now, he's the top candidate. And you want him as a guy who had played quite a bit last year, right? Played over 200 snaps. Like, you want him to be able to take that next step and be like a real factor, be a real havoc producer. And so, and if he could do that, all of a sudden, like, wow, that just opens things up, I think, right now for like what they can do with the pass rush, what they can do in coverage. Because I really think, too, he's not a guy who looks good in zone. Like, he always kind of looks lost to me. Like, he looks like he's, like, trying to find stuff. But if you said, hey, match up with this tight end, and you just said, hey, play Manning, I think he could do that, you know? Yeah. I think he could match up on a back. He could carry a wheel down the sideline. Like, he's that kind of guy. So I really just think his potential is really, really high. It's just about realizing it, and he just has a unique skill set that others don't.
It's he's the most physically talented player. Yeah. Like, he's just he could be like if you guys talked about like first round picks or whatever, right? I think it was on yesterday's show. Someone asked a question about who could be a first round pick or whatever. And I don't even think it was regarding. Like, it was about recruiting.
It was about 2024 recruits, 2025 recruits.
Yeah. But, like, this is a guy where it's like, is there a linebacker who's going to be – like, someone brought up KVA. Like, to me, it's Jalen Snead because he has size. He can run. He can rush the pass. Like, he has all of these kind of traits that you would want. He can be an on-ball linebacker. He can be an off-ball linebacker. Like – in theory, he could be good in coverage. He hasn't really looked great in coverage yet, right? So there's that piece. But to me, it's just like he's the one who can just do everything. Like just completely change the way that we think about linebackers in terms of just dominating. Like he could just say, I'm going to be a dominant player for Notre Dame in 2024, and if he turns it on, no one can take a spot from him. Like, he's that physically talented. So I 100% he was on my list of guys who it's just like, please take that jump, because he's a guy that can really elevate the entire defense. I'm gonna interrupt this special thing we're doing, Jamie. I'm gonna show a little Cam Hart action right here. In one-on-one coverage against Tez Walker. Everybody, this is a former Notre Dame player, Cam. He's a good football player, Jamie. I mean, he's been doing this. He's done it his whole career, and he doesn't give up catches. You know, and that's a nice trait to have as a corner. Doesn't give up catches.
Should mention that was Sam Hartman who threw that pick too. It was Sam Hartman who threw that pick.
No.
Yeah.
It's Sam. Oh, it's Sam Hartman.
That's week four, Sam Hartman.
Week four.
That's week four.
Oh, man. I was thinking today, like, everyone did the turnover Tommy thing. Someone could do that for Sam. I don't, that's not something I'm endorsing, but it could happen. All right. Now, for the first person for me, who's got to come up big for Notre Dame. You could take a pick on the offensive line. I'm going to talk about Billy Shrouth right now because of the fact that he's going to be a junior now. It's time. This is when it happens. You look at across the board, like Liam Eichenberg, Mike McGlinchey, Sam Mustafa, Alex Bars, right? Like it was at this point in their career where it's like, you know what? You're going to be a great player, a good player. Like this is when it happens for you going into your junior year after you are your redshirt freshman season, third season in the program, right? You mentioned yesterday on Power Hour, like this is finally they have a coach, an offensive line coach for two straight years. Okay. So that's a benefit to them. It's time. He's got the size. He's got the strength. He's got the attitude to be a great guard. He just got to do it. The mental errors got to go away. The physical errors have to go away, like more consistent football player. The ceiling is there. And we talked about on last show about how we have the offensive line is last on our units for 2024 at the moment, as we go in. And it's just that's got to change for Notre Dame. It can change, right? Guy like Billy Shrouth, like that's a top 100 caliber player, right? Charles Jagusaw, top 100 caliber player. Emil Wagner, top 100 caliber player. Right. And these are all guys like Emil Wagner, someone you could put on the list, right? Of guys that need to step up. Billy Shrouth is one of them. He's the guy with the ceiling. He's been in the program. it's time for him to take control of one of these roles and, you know, kind of propel the offensive line forward in 2024. What do you think, Jamie?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think he has to be one of the best players in the offense. I really do. Like, yeah. I really think, like, it's not even just enough to be like, okay, now he's a starter now. No, it's like, no, he has to, like, take a jump to the point where, like, man, this guy is an NFL player. He is an NFL player. He is on his way to the point that after his fourth year, right, which, you know, he obviously redshirted his first year, to the point where you get in this fourth year where you want to be able to say, like, this guy has to make a decision. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to go or he can stay because, you know, he's got that option. But it's like, well, he's good enough to go, right? And that doesn't happen unless he's taking a big step this year, right? And showing, like, proving, like, hey, I'm going to be an NFL player. I'm going to be, like, a high-level guard, right? And so I think that is, you know, couldn't agree more there. And, I'll just, you know, mention kind of with the honorable mention of Emil Wagner, too. Like, it's time now, right? It really is time. And I know, like, you know, we talk about, like, you know, his weight, and you have to get to a certain weight and that, you know, all that kind of stuff. But there's been guys who are, like, 290 who've played offensive tackle in college and been great players, right? Mm-hmm. So it's more than just the weight. It's more than just the weight. Like, he needs to take a step. He needs to take a step and become a starting player. Obviously, if you're starting a tackle for Notre Dame, you better be a good one, right? So that is something. It's like, it's an absolutely massive, massive spring for both of those guys, you know, who are in the same class and really were, like, the two guys in that class from the offensive line that you're pointing to. You're like, well, these are, you know, these are the next Hainsey and Banks and, you know, Martins and Watts and all the, like, that's who you were looking at in that class. So it's huge for both of them.
Yeah. It's these are big time. Do you want to go on someone off of Wagner? Do you want to go for the next one? You kind of threw him in there. Do you want to highlight somebody else?
Yeah, sure. I will go. I mean, I think an offensive line. I mean, you could pick whatever. I think we don't need to really go to offensive line because there's obviously so many questions, right? You could point out, so kind of move away from there. But I'll go to, you know, and it's easy to say pick a transfer because it's like, well, like, you could say RJ Oben. Well, of course, RJ Oben, right? Like, that's, you know, they need him to be like the JJB. Okay, sure. But I really think Chris Mitchell, you know, at receiver is huge for Notre Dame because they just absolutely need someone to be that big play threat. That's consistent to the point that, like, it, obviously what you got out of Chris Tyree last year, great. You know, that is, to me, that was like an ideal situation of what they got out of Chris Tyree last year. Like, you know what? Just pretty consistent big plays, like, throughout the year, right? Like, just was a consistent guy. But the one thing that he wasn't, and I didn't expect him to be, but the one thing he wasn't was you weren't out there looking for, like, oh, let's get Tyree matched up against this guy. Let's let's find a place to get Tyree more snaps so we can get him out there. He never got to that level. And that's something that Notre Dame has really been missing for a while, right? Like, and I would say, like, you could probably go back to, say, I would say maybe even 2019 is probably, I mean, Fuller obviously is the most greatest example of, like, okay, just, oh, we got a matchup here, or when we're going with Will Fuller. Right. But I think it was very similar with Chase Claypool as well, which is also one of the reasons why when they would go four verts, they'd put Claypool and Komet on the same side and say, all right, we're going four verts. Who are you doubling here if you're going single high? Because if you double outside, we're gonna hit the post with Komet. If you double, you're gonna have to pay attention to Komet here. we're going to hit, we're just going to throw up that 50-50 ball no matter what to Claypool. And can Mitchell be a guy, you know, I did that thing on Mike Denbrock and hunting matchups. Can he be that guy that, you know, the guy that everybody wanted Braden Lindsay to be, right? Mm-hmm. Like that kind of guy. And I think that is just, it would be huge for the offense. And it just opens up so many things, right? And it's not to say that they, you know, you won't need other guys to do it. It's just that he's someone who, if I look at him and I look at like some of these other guys who've transferred, that have been guys, there's way more small school, jumping up to big school, you know, power five programs, success stories at receiver than there are at other positions. Right. So Jamari Thrash last year at Louisville, yeah. Right. Georgia State tore it up at Georgia State, tore it up at Louisville, right? Like Juice Wells tore it up at James Madison, tore it up at South Carolina, right? Like Andrew Armstrong, D2 All-American, he's wide receiver one for Arkansas. There's like those kind of guys. And it's not even that he has to be definitely wide receiver one, but you want him to be that kind of success story, right? And if that happens, that all of a sudden, it's just like all these other – he's they didn't get another speed guy. And they really don't, you know, and you just don't expect, say, like, you know, Jordan Faison, as much as I'm excited about his potential, you don't expect him to be like, well, he's going to be that dude next year. You know, maybe he still might be that dude, but like, and maybe, but it's a lot to ask for him to be that guy. So I think Mitchell is the obvious choice there. So to me, he's the guy.
You said it yesterday on Power Hour, and you made, and it was the kind of the point that I was going to make right now about him, is that Mike Denbrock is really good at hunting matchups, but can you hunt matchups with him? Like, is that what you can do? Or is he just a guy out there? It's like, you're trying to hit a play, but the other team, like the defense is not like, we're okay. Just to have him out there against our corner. And it's fine. Like, we're not super concerned about it. Like maybe he'll get us, but we're not going to like, we're not going to devote resources to trying to stop him or come up with something in the game plan where it's like, hey, we need to make sure someone's over the top because he's hurting us, right? Like, is he that type of guy, right? Because if he is, then that opens up a lot of things for other people. And it just gives the offense another, you know, another good weapon, right? So yeah. it's a great point. Like, we talk about, especially like Bo Collins too. Like, he's not on campus, right? So he's got to finish up his degree. He's not on campus right now. So it's kind of like everything with him is going to be projection, right? And so you want to see Chris Mitchell. Like, it's great on paper, right? It's great to have on the piece of paper, you know, Chris Mitchell, speed guy, 76 catches, over 1,000 yards for FIU.
4.40, all that.
Yeah. Yeah, like it all looks great, right? But can you actually do it is the thing, right? And so that's a good one. It's a good one to flag there. And someone that I think Chris Mitchell is going to be going up against a lot is another guy that I have, and that is Jaden Mickey. Talked about him last week on the last show. And he's one where I think that people kind of pencil him in as going to be a good player. I think his performance has been more uneven than that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Agree. Yeah, like, I don't know that he's going to be a good starter for Notre Dame. Like, we don't know that, right? I think physically he looks good. I think he's flashed in practices enough to where it's like there's something in there. But it's like, obviously, he's been going through a lot for the past – you know, at least year and whatever, and who knows however long it's been, and who knows how that affects him, how that's affected him. He seems very mentally strong. He seems like his mental fortitude is clear, right? I mean, what he's been able to play through, the ordeal with his mother who ended up passing away right near the bowl game, like that is – you don't know how that's affected him, and you don't know how kind of having closure to that situation is going to affect him going forward. Right. Like we assume, oh, you know, you don't have that now, right? Like it's that has passed and he can be free, but maybe that's not the case, right? Maybe losing her isn't going to free him up. You don't know. But my point is like he is coming into his junior year, right? Now he is an upperclassman. Cam Hart, who is tearing up the Senior Bowl right now, has left the program. There is an empty spot at the field. He is a field player. And it allows Notre Dame, I think, it is very important for Notre Dame to have three good corners. You know, you don't want to just have two. You don't want it to just be Christian Gray and Ben Morrison. Someone could get hurt, A, and B, like
you. Look at the Pitt game this year. They were down to 3-4 in the game. Yeah,
exactly. And you can and if you can have Christian Gray maybe move inside on the slot, right? And so you always want to have that third guy. You're going to play a bunch of teams who are going to be able to throw the ball over the field. They want to throw the ball over the field. You're going to have five DBs on the field a lot, if not six. So I think he is one where it's like, hey, and you also have to be thinking about the post Ben Morrison life too, you know, because this year he's going to be gone.
Oh yeah, he's not staying around for a season.
So he's going to be gone. So Christian Gray, right? They're gonna want to move him to the boundary because of his size and his physicality. Jaden Mickey has an opportunity to really solidify the field spot for the next couple of years, and I think that would really help Notre Dame's program. I think that would really help how it all lines up recruiting wise, as far as like bringing along guys like Carson Hobbs and Leonard Moore and Micah Bell and on and on, right? Like guys like that. And so I think for him and for the team in 2024, I think it's very important that Jaden Mickey takes a step and is like a good full-time starter caliber player for Notre Dame.
Yeah. And I think he's someone traits wise who should be keep ascending because he's got the speed to play the position and run with people down the field. He there's no doubt about it, right? Like he has that. He's a good tackler. Like he is an aggressive player. Maybe sometimes too aggressive I would say, like you look at that Pitt game. That was like one of those things where it's like he had the pick six, which was great, which was awesome to see. And he had a pass breakup. He also had some things where he's, you know, he jumped the one and they got him in the double move, right? It was just a bad throw by the quarterback, right? Should have been a touchdown, right? So there's that kind of stuff. And if you look at, say, like his numbers from the year and you say, I mean, pretty good. He only gave up 45% completions, 47.5 NFL passer rating on against him, right? So you're like, yeah, like – I mean, wouldn't you take that? You take it, right? That's good. But there's other plays where you've seen him, like, he isn't as sticky on receivers as it, certainly not as much as Hart and Morrison were. Like, it was noticeable when he was in the game, right? So, and it was just little things, right? That I think that, you know, he can improve on and be better at. And I think he has a chance to be a very high level starter, but it's not now or never for him, but he has 2 years left. And, you know, obviously, you know, Christian Gray's there, but you got other guys coming up too. You have other guys coming up that are really talented. It's just like one of those things where like, you would have just said that, well, normally Clarence Lewis, you're like, man, this guy played the most snaps on the team in 2021, right? Like he was, you know, their top corner, right? Like he was like, you know, played more snaps than anyone on the team last year. Well, a couple games into the season, Ben Morrison replaced him as a starter. It was a freshman, right? And it's because he was better and obviously deserved to do it, right? So who's to say that Leonard Moore or Carson Hobbs might not come in and be like, oh wow, they need to play right now. I wouldn't predict that to happen. I don't think that'll happen, but it could happen. It could happen where these guys are pushing at the end of the year. And you don't want to be in a position where if he doesn't earn a starting spot and play at a high level, where all of a sudden you're like, well, going into his senior year, I don't know if he's gonna get this job because this other guy's coming up, right? Like, because you're already feeling good about Gray and all the, and this, and you know, obviously Micah Bell too, right? So I think there's just a lot there too, where it's like, it's a good problem to have because it's like you have this talent and everybody's pushing each other. That competition, it's great. It's great. And it should make Jade Mickey better, but it's like, well, he's got to be better because if he's not, then he's going to get passed. And that's really like the sign of a healthy program.
Yeah. All right. Who's your next, Jamie?
For me, I'm going back to the defense as well. And I'll say definitely, you know, obviously with Gabriel Rubio, we don't know much in terms of
will he be in the
back or whatever. Will he be back or whatever? And I would say there was a gap. You know, obviously there's, I think if either Mills or Cross went down, you could have plugged Rubio in there and he would have played maybe not at that same level, but close. You know, it wouldn't have been a thing where you're just like, man, I think Notre Dame is in trouble because, you know, of this for this particular game. Cause I think Rubio could play at a starter level. And to me, Jason Onye, there was a gap between him and Rubio. And that gap, I mean, obviously Rubio's not there anymore, but the gap between Onye and Cross and Mills, it was wide, too wide. And that gap needs to close. And right now, you know, he's got 2 years of eligibility left on you, right? But he's going in his fourth year. He'll have his fifth year too.
Yeah.
But, you know, we talked about last year, freakish in terms of like just guys like him who run like him and are built like him. Who the heck is 295 pounds with like a friggin' eight pack? There's just not many humans alive that are like that. And guys like that are supposed to play in the NFL. Because if you're like that and you're not, it's kind of what I always said about Tosh Baker too. If you're that big and you're not in the NFL, you're not in the league, it's like something's wrong. Something went wrong with you along the way. And with Onye, obviously, it's a different situation in terms of like when he came in and he was super raw and he was from Rhode Island and all this kind of stuff. But it's like he took a big jump last year. And I would say – credit to him and huge credit to like Al Washington and Nick Sebastian, because Jason Onye, you would have said the year before, man, you know, maybe he'll play, maybe he'll never play. But you know, the fact
he could be out of the program.
Yeah. Right. He could be a guy that you're like, okay, well, he's going to graduate and leave. And now you're like, well, he actually has a shot to be an NFL player just because, like I said, there's just not many people built like him and move like him, but he needs to take that next step and be a guy that all of a sudden you're like, wow, you know, no one is freaking out about them losing Mills and Cross for 2025. I can't believe it feels weird to talk about 2025, but like that is the jump that he needs to make where all of a sudden you're like, oh man, he is like, Onye is right there with him. And that needs to happen. Yeah. And I would say his flashes were extremely impressive. Mm-hmm. But there are things that me as someone who played defensive line and coached defensive line and watches defensive line closely, his bad plays kind of stuck out too in a not good way. And obviously, mm-hmm. and like he needs to eliminate those. Because if he just eliminates those and then still shows those kind of flashes, that is enough of a jump that he is going to be someone that they're going to feel like this guy should play 25 snaps a game.
Mm-hmm. You want him to take the next step and you want to take the next step with your business, Jamie. You want to show flashes and you can be flashy with your website, with your social media page. And you can do that with VSR Media, which is founded by Notre Dame football pregame host and Emmy Award-winning anchor Vahid Saad Rezadeh. VSR Media provides professional and cinematic video and photo Whether you're looking for a collegiate or pro-level highlight reel, have a personal story to tell, or are aiming to diversify and grow your business, VSR Media specializes in short and long-form video storytelling, social media management, and website design. VSR Media also captures professional headshot, senior, and sports photos. Contact them at vsrmediacompany.com. Mention Irish Sports Daily to receive 20% off your first project. Visit them online or give them a call at 574-800-9106. And if you like that segue, and if you like this show, hit the like button, hit subscribe, hit the notification bell to whenever it's going live. Subscribe to the show if you haven't done so already. And if you're watching the show and you haven't done so, please hit the like. That'd be great. We would really appreciate that. Bill O'Doherty says it's time for Riley Leonard to step up. Step up, Riley Leonard. We need a big season from you. So we need that to happen. All right, Jamie. Next guy. I'm going to switch back to offense. I think this is one where I think we suspect it will happen. The opportunity will be there. I'm talking about tight end Eli Raridan. Listen, he came on in the bowl game, right? Came on late in the year, right? As kind of a guy, it's like they gave him some spot snaps there after he's coming back from his ACL. He's a good bit beyond the ACL now. Can have a full off season, right? Fingers crossed on that. Full off season, head into the year. Mitchell Evans is coming back from injury. We know Notre Dame wants to play two tight ends. I think that Eli Raridan is important for him to be like tight end one caliber. First of all, he has that ability. He has that physical ability. He has that he has those good mitts, Jamie, catching the ball in traffic. Like, I feel like Mitchell Evans is a shifty guy. He can get open, right? He's best, you know, in and out of breaks, getting in that situation. I think Eli Raridan is good at that, but also he's a guy kind of like Cole Kmet, where it's like it doesn't matter if there's someone around. Kind of like Michael
Catch Merrick. Radius, yeah.
Catch radius. It doesn't matter if there's someone there. He's just going to come down with it because he's that kind of a player. We saw it in the touchdown catch that he had against Wake Forest in the corner of the end zone there. He's got a defender on him. Makes the catch anyway, right? And that's what you see from Eli Raridan. I think it's vital for the way that Notre Dame wants to build their offense and for the type of player that Eli Raridan is, that he is a tight, like I said, tight end one caliber for Notre Dame in 2024. What say you, Jamie?
I think that's a really good one, especially because we don't know what's going to happen with Evans in terms of his right. availability early. So I think Raridan is someone that if you looked at on the roster and you're just looking at it from like, not what they've done so far, but what they can be. If you're going to look at, well, you know, you talked about the conversation we had about the, you know, on Power Hour about the first round picks, whatever, right? If we're looking at guys in the roster, Eli Raridan is one of those guys. If you told me in 2 years he was a first round pick, I'd be like, yeah, I could see it. You know, like I really could. He is like that kind of ability. Like he has that kind of athleticism, just and he's a huge, huge, massive individual. This reminds me too. We should probably do a hot take Thursday on this Thursday.
I like it. Hot take Thursday. Let's go.
Yeah. So,
well, it'll be hot take Wednesday because we're.
Oh, Wednesday. You're right. Hot take Wednesday. Yeah, sure. Right. I don't know what the heck's going on with this guy with the whatever. But
oh, okay. Tree of Life.
Tree of Life. Dakota book. Whatever. Okay. I don't. Right. Okay. Sure. Sure. Sorry, someone just jumped weird in the comments for people listening on the podcast. But I think it's a really good one. And I really think that, he would absolutely be in terms of he needs it, but also like he would be on the top of the list of guys for me to pick or near the top of the list of guys that like, oh, he will make that jump.
Okay, where are you at, Jamie? The next one.
I'm going back to defense. I'm going to the defensive line. And somebody mentioned him already in the comments much earlier, but Josh Burnham.
I'll pull it up.
Is there too. So, it might have been Rajon. So, I don't know.
No, it was Blayberg.
It was Blayberg. Okay. Sorry, Blayberg. Josh Burnham. And I think for a few reasons. One, I think there's still obviously some –
Blayberg got Anya, by the way, also.
Blayberg, all right,
he's on fire right now.
Just, you know, hot take Tuesday for Blayberg. He's on it. I just think with Jordan Batello, obviously, he's beat up last year. Where is he going to be at in terms of the player he can be? Because I don't think you can have that level of guy be the starter at Viper all the year. If he's doesn't get better and he's not playing to a higher level and he's healthy, whatever, then I think, you know, that's a ripe opportunity for someone like Josh Burnham to take that job. And then even if Burnham isn't that, Burnham might end up being the guy who is like the third defensive end in terms of like maybe play a little bit of Viper, play a little bit of strong side end. Because really, too, we don't know what's going to happen with Aiden Gobera. I don't know if Brandon Vernon's going to even be an end. It's a lot to ask for like someone like, say, Bryce Young to be someone to play right away and be a rotation. Maybe he's good enough to do that. I mean, I certainly think it's possible. I'm certainly super high on his future. But, you know, Burnham, based on the kind of the jump he made from last year to this one, that is something, too, where it's like if he can make that next jump, and to not just be a guy who is just like he's productive to get against in those kind of situations where it's like, you know, he made a lot of plays when he needed to, which was great. But it's like, well, can this guy actually be a guy like, oh, you know, in the Duke game or whatever, right? It's like, man, Notre Dame needs to play in the fourth quarter. Josh Burnham could be the kind of guy who can make it, you know, like Notre Dame needs to fourth play. They're going to play Louisville this year again, right? It's like, man, they need a play here. And it's like, well, obviously you want your starters to make it, but sometimes you want to be able to have the next guys in do it. And so even if he's doesn't become a starter, you need somebody else who's like in the rotation to be, he was probably made the most plays out of anybody else in the rotation, to be honest, but he never really made them in those kind of games. You know, outside, he made them in earlier games and then he made it like he obviously made it in the bowl game, whatever, but like, can he do it on another level and on a more consistent level and be that? Because that's really like, that's when the defensive line takes a huge jump as a whole, right? That was the whole strength of the 2018 to 2019 lines, is that you put in the second unit and you're like, man, these guys are balling. The second unit's balling too, right? And that's where it kind of needs to be. And he's a key guy for that.
It's kind of time for that. Like you mentioned Jalen Snead, right? And so Burnham, Snead, the Tuli Halamaka, like it's time for that linebacker class, which was very highly touted, right? I mean, that was a big part of, you know, Marcus Freeman's first class. You know, we got these guys in. Notre Dame never would have got these guys. It's time for those guys to start being like real factors on the football team.
Yeah.
Right. And so Josh Burnham fits into that, right? Like if he's going to be like the Viper rushing, then let's see it. You know, let's see the Julian Aquara type of season where it's like, man, they can't block him. Like could he go pro, you know, like that, something like that, right? Where it's, you do need that. And you don't, like you said, you don't know what's going on with Patelho and what he can be or where he's going, right? We talk about injuries with him, but is that what it is, right? Is it something else? Like, has he lost that kind of ability to pressure the quarterback just generally, did whatever happened? But like Josh Burnham is a guy, again, top 100 caliber recruit. It's time. Like the reason that we hype these guys and we talk about recruiting, we put so much focus on recruiting, is because it needs to lead to, you know, where Notre Dame needs Josh Burnham to go, which is a guy who can pressure the quarterback. He's a great athlete, right? That's why you move him. That's why you convert a linebacker to a rush end, to a Viper, so that they can kind of be a difference maker on the edge. Notre Dame needs that. It can't. I think that Notre Dame does need, like, obviously the sim pressures are great, but you do need to win one on one.
You need to win one matchup anymore. Yeah, it's, man, that actually is something that I've been thinking about for a while, because really they didn't have that this year outside of like Howard Cross. Really, it was like the only guy who I would say consistently in true passing situations, you're like, oh, you know, he's one-on-one with a center here. Howard Cross can get a win, you know, like he can get a win here. And I mean, I think JJB got to that as the season went on, but those are really the only two guys that you're consistently with it, because a lot of it, and I mean, whatever, credit to the scheme and everything they're doing on the back end and all of that, right? And I think, and obviously too, this is credit to coaching as well, because when you're designing, like, you know, your rush plan and stuff in terms of like what, you know, what stunts you're going to run and all that and how you run effectively, like Notre Dame was fantastic at that last year. Mm-hmm. Specifically as the year went on, they got better and better and were great at it. But you also want to just have sometimes where a guy just wins. Like,
well, I was going to say, like, those, what you're talking about, like, those are your third down. That's your third down plan. Like, what is on first down when they throw on first down?
Yeah.
You know, like, get them behind the sticks in that situation.
Right? Yeah. And that, that can change a drive.
Yeah.
Drive, right? So,
yeah. Yeah.
Without blitzing. And obviously, exactly, they blitz, you know, a ton, and they could, and they had guys who were good at it. But when you don't blitz and you just have a guy who's like, man, this guy just dominated his matchup. That is something that is really that was missing. And you get sometimes from Isaiah Foskey. But I would say, that was probably the one thing with Foskey. It was like, man, you wanted to see him do it a bit more. And you would get it. Certainly, like, I think that was something like Jerry Tillery in his last year. You're like, man, Jerry Tillery just destroyed this dude on second and seven. He just destroyed this dude. Like, that is something that they're missing and they need to get more of.
Yeah. All right. This will be the last one. I think Notre Dame wants to play three safeties. And you know, you've got Rod Heard back there. You know, you've got Xavier Watts back there. Who's that third safety going to be? And I'm going to put it on a Don Shuler, just because, you know, Tolich, who knows? He might be a year away. Not just that, but he's got the leg injury, right? So he had a bad injury there. He's rehabbing that. He might be a year away. Ben Minnick also had an injury, right? Adon Shuler, healthy the whole way. He got into the lineup a little bit last year. He's been in the program. Physically, he looks good. Looks like he can physically be out there. He's got to pick up the defense, though. And he's got to be able to provide at least what Ramon Henderson provides for you, or what DJ Brown provides for you, right? He's got to be able to produce that, because they need the three safeties, right? He was brought in for this specific purpose, right? And the good thing for him is, like, you do have two guys who are above you, not just in, you know, in the lineup, but also like upperclassmen, right? Xavier Watts, he's going to be a captain on this team. Rod Hurd's played a lot of football, right? He gets to sit behind those guys in terms of those are going to be the first two on the field. He has to learn from them. His role isn't going to be big, but it is going to be important, right? Ramon Henderson plays a ton of snaps. DJ Brown played a ton of snaps, right? Like, these guys are on the field a lot. And he needs to be a guy where it's like, hey, we're very comfortable playing our three safety lineup here. We're very comfortable putting Xavier Watts down in the box. We're very comfortable putting Rod Hurd down in the box, because we can have Adon Shuler back, and he can hold it down in the back. He's not going to bust. He's not going to blow a coverage, right? Say what you want about DJ Brown and Ramon Henderson. Those guys don't bust coverages, right? They don't leave people running free. It was not something we saw last year, right? He's got to be able to do that. He's got to be able to come up and make tackles. He's got to be able to cover the half. He's got to be able to go into the deep middle and make plays there. Like, it's one thing to be a reserve player. It's another thing to be a full-time, like, I'm going to get 25 snaps in every single game we play at least, right? I think that's got to be him. And so I think he's another player that I think Notre Dame needs to step up in 2024. What do you think, Jamie?
Yeah, great pick. I'm so excited to he's you know, right there for me as one of the most anticipated guys to watch this spring. I can't wait to watch him. And I would agree too that the piece about not blowing stuff, because I mean, obviously it's different, whatever. It was the end of the game. I can't remember what game it was, but he's there and he is like amped up to play the run. They run play action. He's like, whoa, like, you know, running back. Cause he just wasn't thinking. He's just thinking, man, I'm getting my chance to play right now. I want to light somebody up. Right. And, you know, that's just the kind of thing that is absolutely essential. Is like number one on the list, safety. Don't let their band play after a play. Like, just let it, you know, make sure that doesn't happen. They call you safety for the reason, your last line of defense. Mm. And, but I really do think physically, and just like, he has a chance to be a great, great player. Like, and, I do think like, you know, he's someone that I think was underrated, as a recruit. And, I'm really, really excited to see him, because I do think he has a chance to be awesome at Notre Dame, and we'll see if it happens this year. And I think they, you know, I mean, obviously there's other guys there that could compete for it too. But I mean, right now you have to say, in terms of like being like Drake Bowen is the first guy that you think of to be the starter at linebacker. Well, Adon Shuler is the first guy you think of to be that third safety.
Yep. We like it. All right. That'll do it, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. If this is your first time, like I said, please hit the like button. Please subscribe to the channel. Please hit the notification bell so you know whatever it is. We are going live. And one of those times will be tomorrow. We have a different schedule today because of my schedule is a little bit different this week. So we're going to go tomorrow. We're going to do Hot Take Wednesday. It's not all, you know, it's not all alliteration, Jamie. It's not all fun, but it's going to be a good show no matter what. So check us out there. We're going to have some hot takes for you tomorrow if there's no other news that comes across the wire. Until then, have a good week, everyone. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Keep hitting and hustling.